Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gant, and for the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant, and you can send messages to the show on Twitter at GoForItGant. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at GoForItGant. Got a big show scheduled for tonight. Expected to be joined by New York Giants defensive back Terrell Thomas. He's going to stop on by, talk about this upcoming season. We're also going to be joined by linebacker Lorenzo Alexander of the Washington Redskins, who will stop on by. We're going to talk about this season and what he's doing to get himself ready for his upcoming season, which is going to be an interesting and great season. And also we're going to be joined by model Caitlin O'Connor, who's going to talk about her contest. She's vying for Maxim's hometown hottie, so she's going to talk about that, and that should be very, very interesting. We're actually going to bring in now Washington Redskins linebacker, Mr. Lorenzo Alexander. Just a second now, we're having some issues here. Lorenzo!
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, doing real well.
Thanks for coming on, thanks for joining us. And Lorenzo, football is back. How excited were you when you heard this whole lockout thing was taken care of and done?
I was very excited. You know, it's been a long time coming. Not to be able to be in my normal routine, you know, working out with the guys up at the park, training, you know, OTAs. You know, as players, especially as veterans, you know, you kind of complain about it while you're in it. But when you miss it, when you're out, you learn not to take things for granted. So I'm definitely glad it's back. Not too quick either, you know, so we got back in time for training camp. So everybody's ready to go.
And Lorenzo, you're one of the more versatile players in the league. You played six different positions during your time at Washington. I mean, right now you're preparing to learn your seventh position this year, as you may be going inside as a linebacker.
Right.
All these different positions, does it get frustrating for you at times?
You know, no. I'm a guy that came in the league undrafted, didn't have a shot, nobody drafted me, so to have the opportunity to play seven different positions, this kind of shows everybody what type of athlete I was when I came out, and I'm just going to continue to take advantage of my opportunities. I mean, I firmly believe God, you know, does things in strange ways, and he's kind of taking me in his route, and I think I'm very unique in the league, and it can't nobody really do what I do. So I found my stardom in a different way, you know, just not typical, like, you know, being drafted first round and get your ball on that way.
And did you have a favorite position out of all those positions, offensive line, defensive tackle, linebacker? Which one was your favorite?
So far, you know, tight end probably would have been it if they'd actually thrown me the ball, but I would have to say linebacker so far. I think I loved outside linebacker, but once I play inside might be king.
And you nicknamed the one-man gang. Where did that come from?
It came from my boy, old Fred Smoot and Bluefoot, Sean Springs, my rookie year back in 07, just because I was doing what you said. You know, I came in, was playing guard, then at the start of camp, I was back at D tackle. Then in the middle of the season, they moved back to guard, you know, playing tight end, fullback, and they kind of came up with that thing, one-man gang.
And Lorenzo, you got some starts last season at the outside linebacker position. As we just said, you're probably going inside. What have you done to prepare for this new position?
Well, I definitely had to trim down. I lost about 15 pounds in the offseason, you know, bad weight, that fat, trying to get that down. Probably dropped from like 20 to 15 to 23 to 17 body fat percentage, and just really got strong, really worked on my core, doing a lot of Pilates, functional strength, so I can transfer that power, working on my foot speed, working over there at Sport and Health, my boy Chris Gores, just becoming a better athlete. I'm probably the best athlete I've ever been in my life right now. And also, I had a chance to really learn from London Fletcher during OTAs, the player ran, sitting down, meeting with him, just learning the ins and outs, really getting a chance to pick his brain. So when I get out there, I'm not thinking, I'm just playing.
And how good is it to be around your teammates again?
I love it. It's a great feeling. I was fortunate that Chris Wilson and Kendrick Golson live in the area, but it's good to be around the guys. You know, that locker room, and it's not like that on earth. Just a bunch of grown men, seem like you're still like 20, 22, 24, and they're just real young. It keeps you young. So it's good to keep up the guys, hang out with them, and fellowship with them day in and day out.
We're talking to Lorenzo Alexander, linebacker for the Washington Redskins. And Lorenzo, last season you had a big-time hit against the Philadelphia Eagles, a hit that Mike Shanahan called the best hit he has ever seen. How big was that hit for you, sir?
It was awesome. The best hits is when you don't feel it. So definitely, jacking him up was set the tone, allowed us to win that game. I got to continue to make big plays like that. I'm one of the leaders on special teams, one of the core guys. I just want to continue to lead by example. Those type of plays are set up by Coach Danny Smith and the other guys around me, like a Mike Sellers, HB, that allows us, just to funnel guys back to it. So all of us working together, I'm just finishing laying down the hammer.
And you laid down the hammer big time last year. 20 tackles, led the team with 20 tackles on special teams. Like you said, you were the leader. You were the special teams captain. I mean, you led the team in that area. What is your mentality running down the field for a punt or a kick?
My mentality? I mean, you got to be kind of half crazy. You got to be fearless. So maybe put some big guys back there. I'm a big guy myself, but, sometimes I run into guys at 330. So just going down there, flying down, relentless. But it's easy when you got guys, like I said before, H.B. Blades, Reed, Mike Sellers, Chris Wilson, guys like that running down. I mean, it's hard for them to block any of us one-on-one. So when they double Mike, or somebody else is stepping up and making a play, and a lot of times that was me, a lot of times it was other guys. But, we do it by committee. We like to swarm to the ball, and Danny Smith does a great job of coaching us up on our technique and stuff, and that's why we've been tops of the league, especially on our kickoff coverage.
And last year was a struggle for you guys team-wise. It wasn't what you guys expected record-wise. How tough was last season? What do you guys need to do to kind of change that this season?
It was tough. Coming off of 4-12 the year prior, now 6-10, it's tough to lose like that. Nobody likes to lose. You got a bunch of guys that are used to winning, coming up, from yay high to now, you won all your life. So it's definitely a struggle. I think our biggest thing is just consistency. I mean, we was competitive. We was in a lot of games. We just, didn't finish off in that fourth quarter, which is all critical in the NFL. We got to learn how to finish games and finish strong and not beat ourselves with stupid mistakes, making an easy play, making an easy tackle, and I think we'll be fine.
And you guys are going to look a little differently, especially at the quarterback position.
Donovan
right. McNabb has been traded to the Minnesota Vikings. Are you confident in the guys who are going to take his place, whether it be John Beck, Rex Grossman?
Rex went to the Super Bowl. Beck is still young, really hasn't had an opportunity, but he's been working. I see guys working, putting in the work, throwing with guys, making sure that they can be in the best possible situation. So, I'm going in with full confidence that they're going to get the job done. But it's more than just a quarterback. It takes an offensive line, receivers, running backs, everybody doing their job so that person can be successful. The quarterback takes so much hit, whether he does good or bad, but it's definitely a
right. –
He's so dependent on everybody else. So he's only as good as the people around him. And I know they're getting guys that's getting in there to help him out and also, solidifying his whole line so he can be upright, getting the ball downfield to my boy Anthony Armstrong.
And, Lorenzo, you had an interesting offseason. I mean, you learned how to fight fires. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. My boy Kevin from Kevin and Rock Show on the Fan invited me out. It was fun, went on a couple of trips with him. No fires that day, but, I did some of the exercises, some of the training just to kind of get a feeling of what it is to fight one, and it's just crazy, real intense. It's amazing how strong that hose is. I actually had a trouble holding the hose at full throttle. You know, Kevin is probably, I don't know, 160, 170 wet, and he's back there holding it like he's, you know, 350 pounds strong. So it's definitely a lot of technique. They're definitely brave people, but you also at the same time you get a lot of, I guess, reality, because somebody did pass away when I was on the trip with them. So to be able to see something like that was hard, and you can just see how they deal with this stuff day to day. But they are heroes. They're a front line here on the home front, and I give them much kudos and respect for what they do day in and day out.
We're talking to Lorenzo Alexander, linebacker for the Washington Redskins. And, Lorenzo, you have a foundation titled Aces Foundation. Tell us about this great foundation.
Yeah, it's just a foundation I started back in 2008 with my mom and aunt. Back in Oakland, California. And pretty much what we do is just give back to the youth, you know, creating opportunities for them to be successful in life by providing different information, different events. And I also do a lot of stuff in D.C. as well. So that's what I try to do. My website, if you want more information, is LorenzoAlexander.org. You can check us out there. We're on Twitter at Aces_Foundation. And we just do a lot of things. Just finished doing a back-to-school giveaway Monday over at Target in Sterling. Help 30 kids, underprivileged, underserved, and it's just good. It's just always good to be able to use my celebrity, my platform that God has blessed me with to give back.
And, Lorenzo, on this show, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I'll give you two topics. You tell me who's better. You ready to play?
Let's do it.
Better nickname, the Nigerian Nightmare or the One Man Gang?
Easy, One Man Gang.
Better city, Washington, D.C., which is technically a territory, or Berkeley,
right.
California?
I got to give it to D.C.
Better than Berkeley, your hometown.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm actually from Oakland. But D.C., I mean, it's way too much stuff. All the monuments, all the museums. I mean, it's just way – the clubs. I mean, it's just way too much stuff to do in D.C. compared to Berkeley. Now, San Francisco gives D.C. a run for its money, but I'm not from there, so –
Last question. Better record, the 2010 Washington Redskins or the 2011 Washington Redskins?
2011, hands down, easy.
Playoff team this year?
I mean, that's what you strive for every year. That's our goal, to achieve that. Now we got to show up on the field to accomplish that.
Lorenzo, we'll see what happens going into this upcoming season. It was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for taking time for us. Good luck, man, with everything, and do it big, and hopefully you guys have a successful season. Thanks a lot, sir.
All right, I appreciate it.
Take care.
You too. Later.
Lorenzo Alexander, linebacker for the Washington Redskins. Lorenzo's preparing for the upcoming season. Training camp starts tomorrow for the Washington Redskins, and we'll see what happens. Will they do better? I don't know. John Beck, Rex Grossman, none of those guys really get me too excited. But we'll see, and that's why they play the games. We're now going to bring in 11-time Pro Bowler, the great Willie Rowe. Willie, how are you, sir?
How you doing today?
Doing well, doing very well. And Willie, let's get right to it. The reports are out there. Kevin Cobb, apparently, according to Jim Trotter, SI.com, he has Kevin Cobb going to Arizona for Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, the cornerback, and a second-round draft pick. Plus, Kevin Cobb is going to get $30 million guaranteed. Ooh. What do you think about that move?
Well, I think that's a great move for him. On his last deal, how much did he make? He was getting paid pretty good money in Philly, wasn't he?
I believe he got $10 million signing bonus, and I believe he was making 1.4 going into this year.
Well, sounds like a good deal. Sounds like that's going to be their quarterback for the future. And, you know, he played well. I mean, I'm not going to say Cobb didn't play well. And when Vic went down and he came in and played some good games. But, you know, early in the year when he started, and what happened to him? Didn't he get hurt or something? Didn't he get a concussion?
He got hurt first game of the season against the Packers.
Against the Packers, exactly. And then Vic came in and just played great, you know. And then Vic started getting a little worn out toward the end of the year. So, you know, I think it's a good move. Both of them are starting quarterbacks, but I think Michael Vick is a, you know, better athlete and can do more things than Cobb can do. But I think Vic is also a little smaller, you know, is you know, they need somebody that's going to be able to back Vic up and give him a couple games in Philly just in case something happens during the course of the year. So I think it's a good move for Cobb, and he wanted to go somewhere and get a fresh start, and obviously Michael Vick was a comeback player of the year and had an exceptional year for Philly.
And $30 million guaranteed for a guy, 3-4 as a starter, really not a proven commodity. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little – it's a lot. I mean, you give him a second round.
It's a lot. I mean, I will say he had his moments where you saw flashes that he had –
right.
Could be a very good quarterback. And before Michael Vick came on last year, Cobb was supposed to be the man in Philly. So, I mean, I don't think he really got a real opportunity to see how good a quarterback he can be, and now we'll find out. And he's got 30-minute guarantee, so he's going to be there for a few years to see how good he can be.
And $30 million, and what a country, and it's good to be Kevin Cobb tonight. And, Willie, we knew this was going to happen, but Donovan McNabb finally got shipped off to Minnesota for 2 6-round draft picks, one
just
which is conditional.
Gave him away.
Yeah, they basically gave him away. But how well does McNabb fit in Minnesota?
You know, I think it's going to be a good move for McNabb. I mean, he played on turf in Philly. He'll be indoors. So the elements won't affect him. I think he'll play better in Minnesota. Now, I do worry about his body a little bit on that turf, because that turf grass, even though it's turf grass and it's indoors, it's going to be a little different environment than he used to playing with. I hope he's in good shape, and I hope his body holds up, because if he goes out this year and he's you know, lagging or in and out the lineup, you know, with injuries and stuff, then, you know, the writing's on the wall. So hopefully he leaned up some this offseason and got in a little better shape and conditioning, because, you know, last year during the course of the year he couldn't practice because he, you know, was banged up. And it's, you know, a lot of coaches don't want a quarterback to play if he can't practice during the week. So
right.
I just want McNabb to come back and end it on a good note. I would like to see him have at least one productive year in Minnesota, maybe two, before he ends his career.
And it might be a good situation for him now that you have an Adrian Peterson in the mix. I think one thing that does hurt, you know, you're going to miss Sidney Rice. He just signed with Seattle today, so you're definitely going to miss that, and they're going to need a wide receiver in there.
They're going to need a wide receiver, and you got a lot of guys you can pick up. You can pick up Plaxico. I don't think Randy Moss has done anything to bring to pick him up, but I'd say Plaxico or is Braylon Edwards signed with anybody?
Braylon Edwards is still out there.
I mean, you need somebody that can stretch the field. I mean, you still got what's the kid from Florida that gets the migraines, but he's a real good player, Percy.
Percy Harvin, you can
Percy
still have
Harvin,
him, yeah.
You got Percy Harvin who can do the short things. You need a deep threat that can spread that field open, and that's, I think, you know, either Plaxico or Braylon or somebody they need to bring in there to stretch the field.
And Willie, Santonio Holmes, speaking of Braylon Edwards, Santonio Holmes, he re-signed with the Jets, 5 years, $50 million. It basically was seen that Braylon Edwards will be going elsewhere. Did the Jets choose the right guy? I think they did. But do you think the Jets chose the right guy there?
I think they did. I think he missed a lot of games early, and Braylon made some big catches. But when Santonio came back off of the suspension, he played excellent. He was their go-to guy. He made a lot of big catches for him, and Braylon made some big catches. He made a big one in the playoff games. But I think that was the right decision to keep Santonio. And you know, he's young. He's got a lot of ability, and you know, he's done it before on the biggest stages with Pittsburgh. So I think that was a good choice, and I also hope Braylon ends up somewhere and, you know, gets another chance. I mean, he played good last year, and I think he can help a team, you know, win some football games.
Talking to 11-time Pro Bowler Willie Rofe, and Willie.
Jeremy.
We got that squared away, Willie. Sorry about that. And I look at this whole situation now, Willie, now that Braylon's gone from the New York Jets. Do you replace him with a Randy Moss?
No. Randy Moss was too inconsistent last year. I mean, in late in the year when he signed with Tennessee and those teams, he really didn't do anything. I mean, I don't know what you're going to get out of Randy Moss. I mean, you know, I mean, you could say that, but I just didn't see him be productive. I mean, he went to Minnesota and he wasn't doing a lot, and then he went to Tennessee and he wasn't doing. How many catches did he have in Tennessee? I don't know offhand, Jeremy, but he didn't do a lot in Tennessee.
But a lot, there's reports out there, Willie, that he's in tip-top shape. He does have a lot to prove, and he is a cheaper option than Braylon Edwards.
I mean, you can pick him up, but I mean, I just don't know what he's going to give you. And the problem I have with it is, if you do sign him and things aren't going his way, okay, then what do you have? You have somebody that's malcontent, that's not going to be happy, and then you got a problem in the locker room. So, Randy Moss has been a great receiver. You know, one of the, you know, top 100 guy players of all time. But I just didn't see the productivity. You know, I would have thought after he left New England that he would have had something to prove in Minnesota, where he goes there and doesn't do anything, and then he goes to Tennessee and doesn't perform. So if it was me, I wouldn't sign Randy Moss. I would go in another direction because I don't need the division in the locker room, and I don't want any issues with him during the year, and then I end up releasing him, and you end up costing me, you know, at the end of the year for the season. Well, if that's the case, we'll pick him up after game one starts, so at least the pressure's on him to play. If you pick him up after game one, then it's not a guaranteed deal, and he's week to week, so maybe he will act right.
So you don't think Moss is a good fit? And I don't know, Willie. I mean, I just think this guy, this is his last chance. You know, this is truly his last chance. And if he doesn't do it this time, then he's truly done. So I think I would take the chance. I think I would take the chance. I think
for what?
It's not
minimum,
cost
a minimum level contract with incentives? What would you give
him? Yeah, it's not going to cost a lot. It's definitely not going to cost a lot.
Okay.
It's not going to cost you a lot. And I think it would be well worth the risk, because if it works out, you got a good situation. Like you said, if it goes wrong, it could really be bad.
Okay,
what about Rex Ryan and those guys in that locker room? They could kind of get through it.
What about picking up Roy Williams then? If you need a big possession receiver, you could pick up Roy Williams. I know he's not as fast, but you know you can pick him. I don't think it's going to cost a lot to pick up Roy Williams. And he did have a pretty good year. The best year he had in Dallas was last year. We did have a pretty productive year. He had some good games.
I just think it may cost you a little more.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I got you. Moss is older. He's 13, 14-year vet. It's going to be cheaper. But
it's going to be cheaper, and he's got, you know, he has the issues that come with him. So
he has issues
that
come with him, and then you got to deal with that attitude and that personality. Like you said, that's overbearing in the locker room. And if things don't go right, then you're stuck with that. And then you got to release him or do what you got to do to get him off your ball club, and then who you replace him with. So I think Moss is the last option that I would want to deal with off of his track record, especially last year.
Right. And, Willie, speaking of the Jets, and they're in running for the service of Nnamdi Asomugha, the corner for the Oakland Raiders. Reports are if they do sign him, he may get a deal in excess of $12 million a year. They already have $11.5 million tied up in Darrelle Revis for the upcoming season. It's a good move, obviously, but is that too much money tied up in one position?
I think, and you can sign Cromartie back for
right.
cheaper than that. You can sign him back for
right.
$6 or $7 million. So if I'm the Jets, I thought Cromartie played pretty good, and I know he has spots, you know, where he's not Nasumwa per se, but he's not that far behind him. And I think if you're gonna with the way the salary cap is and stuff, I just don't think you can lock up that kind of money into both of them, where you can sign Cromartie back for, you know, 7 or 8, you know, per year. So I mean, if I was just, I would want to sign Cromartie back, You know, but if you can upgrade, you are upgrading the position, but you got a lot of money tied in that position, you know, for the next few years.
Right. And that's really my only beef with it. Obviously, Asenwag, you have him and Revis. I mean, you got two shutdown corners. But like you said, I think it would be cheaper and I think it would be better long term for the team to go with Cromartie. And I think it would just be better. Plus, you'd be able to fill out other parts of your roster. So I think it would be a better move to go with Cromartie. And right now, Willie, Matt Hasselbeck, he signed with the Titans. Obviously, I think it's an upgrade over Kerry Collins. Short term, I think it's also an upgrade over Vince Young. Do you like this move for the Titans?
I do like the move for the Titans, you know, except you need a backup because he's had some back issues and been in and out of the lineup the last couple of years. So, you know, it's a situation where, you know, what if he goes down? I mean, his health has been an issue with Hasselbeck for the last few years. So I need somebody there that's going to back him up. So I know you say you don't want to bring Vince Young back, and nobody's even talking about Vince Young right now even going anywhere. And this guy
right.
was a Pro Bowl quarterback. He had a good rookie year. He had a good, you know, second year. He had some issues. But, I mean, this guy can play some football, man. He just got to get focused on playing football and grow up a little bit.
Right, and I agree with you. I mean, I would take a chance on a Vince Young. I mean, there have been talks at Miami might go after him, but a lot of talks are saying that Miami's probably going to go after Kyle Orton. So we'll see where Vince Young goes. I mean, there have also been talks that he may go to Philadelphia as a backup to Michael Vick. So, I mean, I don't know, and I think that may not be a bad move for Vince Young, because one thing you can say about Andy Reid is he knows quarterbacks, and he does a great job with quarterbacks. So that might not be a bad move for Vince Young.
That'd be a great move, and like you said, you go from Michael Vick to a bigger, longer guy that's mobile, that can move around in the pocket, that can take off running, and is pretty accurate. I mean, you know, like you said, if the Andy Reid is known for developing quarterbacks and is known for helping gather good rapport with black quarterbacks, so I think it would be a good move for him. And he can learn from Michael Vick, and, you know, they can help each other. Michael Vick is still learning how to play football after what he had to go through and really focusing, like you said on the interview, you know, he's focused now, and he wants to be the best quarterback he can be. So I think that would be a very good move for Vince Young to go to that situation.
Talking to Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler. And Willie, it looks like Carson Palmer is going to retire. He refuses to play for the Bengals, and the Bengals refuse to trade him. I personally think the Bengals should trade him, try to get something for the guy. But do you agree with the Bengals' stance here?
I just think the Bengals are real stubborn. And you know, I think if they could get some value for him, then you trade the guy and give him a chance. But, you know, they don't even want to trade him because, you know, he doesn't want to come back. And, you know, with some of the shenanigans he probably had to deal with, I can understand why he wouldn't want to go back. But, he didn't play well last year. So, I mean, I he didn't have a good year. So I don't know what the market would be for him, but maybe part of the reason he didn't have a good year because he wasn't happy in the situation he was in. So, but I think something will happen after this season. Maybe he'll sit out a year and be able to come back, and maybe they'll move him because, you know, he's going to have a big high cap number, and they're going to have to do something with him. If he comes out of retirement and they've gone elsewhere and have money vested, then they will have to do something with his contract the way it is. So they would have to move him if he put pressure on them to come back in another year.
And the reality is, I mean, if he walks away for a year, the Bengals still own his rights. So he's at the mercy of the Cincinnati Bengals at this point, and I guess he's really serious about retiring. I mean, he doesn't want to come back, and it doesn't really matter to him at this point. And,
well, he's really serious about not playing football for the Bengals.
Right, right. Well, yeah. But I would think, just like I said, it just would be in the best interest of your franchise to get something for the guy. Something. I mean, if he doesn't want to play for you, you can't make a guy play for you. If he's really hell-bent on staying out, then you got to try to get something for the guy.
You do. And since they're playing hardball, and this guy, what is he, 30, 31, I think he's still got some football left in him, and I think he'll If he doesn't play this year, I see him coming back. I see him coming back next year.
And Willie, the new CBA is in place, and it puts an end to the two-a-day practices. First off, is that a good thing?
Well, you don't necessarily need two-a-day practice. If you hit one day in the morning, you still can have your walkthrough. You still can have a practice in shells. I mean, I came in the league in the early 90s, and they were still going – we were still going two-a-days for a few weeks. I mean, I feel like back then it wasn't as much stuff going on in the off-season, and you needed a lot more training camp to get ready to play for the season. Because if you don't do enough hitting at camp, like Bart was saying, the linebacker for the Jets, if you don't do enough hitting, then you're going to get it's easy to get injured. You need to put your body through some grind, some hard times, so it gets used to playing football and practicing football. So that's why you do all that practicing at training camp, is so your body gets used to, you know, falling and hitting the ground a certain way, your cleats are planted in the ground a certain way, and your body gets used to all the contortions and movements and stuff it takes to go out there and play on a given Sunday. So you do need that. You need to put in that work. I'm not going to say you need 2 days, but you need to have a long – if you're not going to have a 2 day, you have a long practice, or you go out there in shells and do something. But I think it's going to help guys play longer, and it's going to save their bodies. I mean, I wish at the end of my career we didn't have 2 days and stuff like that. But, you know, that would have helped me some in Kansas City with Dick Vermeil, because, you know, Dick Vermeil was known for us practicing a long time. So it's not,
right.
I would say it's not even necessarily the 2 days. It's just not being on the field all day, and their body's going to be better rested, and it's going to be less injuries during training camp. But it also, you know, you want to put your body through a little bit of a grind before that season starts.
And do you expect a lot of injuries, being there was no OTAs, no mini camps?
I expect it to be less injuries. I foresee this year with the guys' bodies being well rested and not going through all the OTAs and doing all that stuff throughout the whole off season. You know, which they used in. Even when they didn't have OTs, they'd go out there without pads on to do stuff. I expect it to be less injuries this year than it was last year.
And so you think the no 2 days and no mini camps and no OTAs will actually make the players fresher?
It will be fresher. And I think we'll see guys fresher, and I think the teams will be evaluating them, and they'll take a model from what they see, how these guys look at training camp, and see these guys are professionals, because a lot of these guys have been with guys working out the whole time anyway. So they know, they'll realize how professional these guys are, and the guys know how to work, so you don't have to just stand over their head and watch them all off season. And I think this is going to help the coaches and the owners see the professionalism of the athlete nowadays, and understand that these guys are serious about their job, and I think we'll have less injuries this year.
Willie, it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. We wish you the best of luck. Appreciate you stopping by, man, and we're definitely going to have you on as this season progresses. Appreciate it, Willie.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler. It's great to get his insight. Football is back, everybody. Never left, really. But it is back. It's exciting times. Camps are opening. Open today for a lot of teams. Opening tomorrow for a lot more teams. And opening Friday for a lot more other teams. So camp is open, and it's a beautiful thing, man. Football is back. The sport that America loves so much is back. And I want to get back to this Kevin Cobb thing for a moment now. Arizona Cardinals, they obviously they love Kevin Cobb, and they love him a whole heck of a lot. I mean, you give up a second-round draft pick, you give up a very good corner in Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, and you give Kevin Cobb a guaranteed $30 million. $30 million in guarantees. I mean, I look at that, and I say to myself, yes, Kevin Cobb has shown flashes of potential. Yes, Kevin Cobb has shown that he has some ability. How much ability? I don't know, but he has shown that he has some ability. But also, 7 starts for Kevin Cobb, 7 career starts, 3-4 record, 11 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. I mean, so you look at those numbers, and they're not eye-popping, obviously, and they don't really jump out at you. And you say, did Arizona overpay here? Did they overpay for this guy? I mean, like I said, $30 million in guarantees. You give up a very good corner in Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, and you give up a second-round draft pick. That's a lot. That is a lot for Kevin Cobb, a guy that the jury is still out on Kevin Cobb. The jury is still out on Kevin Cobb. Again, 7 career starts, only 3-4, 11 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. The jury is still out on this guy. And many have said that maybe Arizona should have went maybe in the direction of a Kyle Orton, who would have came at a cheaper price, a guy who has put up big-time numbers with the Denver Broncos last season. I mean, Kyle Orton put up some decent numbers. Kyle Orton put up some numbers. And is he an upgrade for the Arizona Cardinals? Yes, he is an upgrade, obviously. He would be an upgrade over Derek Anderson. He's an upgrade over that. A lot of people are an upgrade over Derek Anderson. A lot of people are, that's an upgrade. A lot of people are an upgrade over Derek Anderson. I mean, Kyle Orton, decent season last year. A very decent season last year for the Denver Broncos. And give him a lot of credit for that season. I mean, he really completed close to 60% of his passes last season. Over 3,000 yards, over 3,600 yards, 20 touchdowns, and only 9 interceptions. Only 9 interceptions there for Kyle Orton. So not bad numbers for a Kyle Orton last season. And he's shown that he can play some football, and he has some ability. He has some ability. Now the question becomes, Kyle Orton is older than Kevin Cobb, but he's only 28 years old. Only 28 years old. Only 28 years old. Only 28. So he's young. He's young. He's a young guy. A very young guy. So he still is a young guy, and I'm saying maybe Arizona probably should have went in a different direction there. I mean, it's not Kevin Cobb himself. It's just what you gave up to get a Kevin Cobb. You gave up a lot. You gave up a lot. You gave up a lot. And Kevin Cobb is 27 years old himself, so not much younger. You gave up a lot. You really did. You gave up a lot for this guy. You gave up a lot. Kevin Cobb is actually 26 years old. You gave up a lot. You gave up a lot. And you question that. You do question that at this point. You do question that. You really do. You gave up a lot, though. I mean, $30 million guaranteed dollars. $30 million in guaranteed dollars. $30 million in guaranteed dollars. A second-round draft pick and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. That's a lot. It just flat out, bottom line, is a lot. Hopefully, for the Arizona Cardinals' sake, this guy produces and does what he needs to do. Hopefully for the Arizona Cardinals, because if they don't, this franchise will be second-guessed big time by a lot of people for this move. They will definitely be second-guessed by a lot of people for this move. And speaking also of the Philadelphia Eagles, DeSean Jackson, there's been reports that he has not reported at this point and probably will not report to training camp at Lehigh for the Philadelphia Eagles unless he gets a new deal. He wants a new deal, and he is expected to make $560,000 this season, this upcoming season. Fourth year, the final year of his rookie contract. DeSean Jackson, my friends, is underpaid. He is underpaid. He's underpaid. There's no doubt about it. He's underpaid. They're still getting around it. DeSean Jackson is underpaid. And the things that he brings to the table in terms of the punt returns, in terms of his big play ability, his ability, he's the ultimate home run hitter. 24 years old. His ability to make plays are legendary. I mean, look at the Giants game. Look at that game speaks for itself. How about that big punt return? The walk-off punt return. The walk-off punt return against the New York Giants. The walk-off punt return. I mean, that's unheard of. It's never happened before. But DeSean Jackson has big play ability. I mean, he's not the type of guy who's going to be crossing the middle all like that, but he is the type of guy that's going to hit that big-time home run. I mean, you look at his numbers, 47 catches, over 1,000 receiving, 6 touchdowns, his longest, 91 yards. I mean, the guy is big-time home run hitter in all and different areas of the game. In the punt return game, he's a home run hitter. On offense, he's a home run hitter. Obviously, DeSean Jackson has outperformed his contract. It's just no getting around that. He has outperformed his contract. There's no way that DeSean Jackson deserves to be getting $560,000 this upcoming season. He deserves more, a whole lot more. He deserves a raise. He deserves a raise, and I think ultimately the Philadelphia Eagles will get it done. I think ultimately they'll get it done. But he deserves a raise. He deserves a raise. I mean, the guy deserves the raise. He deserves it. And I think ultimately he'll get it. But anybody that questions this guy's holdout and has problems with this holdout, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's truly utterly ridiculous. I mean, the guy has outperformed his contract. You go back to the 2009 season, caught 62 balls, over alleged 1,100 yards receiving, 9 touchdowns. That is outperforming your contract. His rookie year, 62 balls, 912 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns overall. That's outperforming your contract. But let's look at the last two seasons. Over 1,100 yards receiving in 2009, over 1,000 yards receiving in 2010, 9 touchdowns in 2009, 6 touchdowns in 2010. That is outperforming your contract. And that is a guy, my friend, who deserves to get paid. He deserves to get paid. He deserves it. He deserves to get paid. And we'll see what happens here. And if I'm his agent, if I'm team DeSean Jackson, I'm staying out until I get this done. I think he's justified, and I think he is right in doing what he is doing. Stay out till you get the contract that you justly deserve. And the contract that you justly deserve is big-time money. He deserves big-time money. He deserves big-time money, and hopefully the Philadelphia Eagles will come to their senses, and I think they will, and they pay this guy because he deserves every little penny and then some. He's that big of a factor for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's the big reason why this team went to the playoffs last year and went to the playoffs, the last two seasons. It's because of DeSean Jackson and his playmaking ability and the things that he can do on the football field. He can do a lot, folks. He can do a lot, and he's done a lot, and thus he deserves to get paid for doing what he has done throughout his illustrious career. It's only been 3 years, but he deserves it, and he does not deserve to earn $560,000 this season. Does not deserve it, and he deserves to get paid. Pay the man. Pay the man. Pay the man. We're going to commercial now, but we'll be back with New York Giants cornerback Terrell Thomas. stick and stay around. Go for it. BlogTalkRadio.com. And we're going to be joined very shortly by cornerback from the New York Giants, Mr. Terrell Thomas. And he's expecting a big-time breakout year for him. And we'll definitely see what happens with the New York Giants coming up in this season. A lot of promise with the New York Giants. And that was a team, to me, the New York Giants, they were a team, in my opinion, that if they would have made the playoffs, they would have been a factor. They definitely would have been a factor and would have been a tough out. And I think they're going to be the same way this season. Let's bring in Terrell now. We're now being joined by New York Giants cornerback Terrell Thomas. Terrell, how are you, sir?
Hello. Yeah, I'm there,
yeah.
Man. How you doing?
Doing well. Terrell, the facilities opened yesterday. How good was it, man, to be back with around your fellow teammates?
It felt real good, man, just to see familiar faces from the equipment guys, to the video staff, to the chefs, from the coaches, to the secretaries, everybody, you know what I mean? This is our livelihood. This is what we do. This is what we know. This is something people we spend most of our time around. So it's good to be around those guys and, you know, good to play football again.
And how excited were you, man, when you heard that this whole lockout thing was over?
Man, I was all smiles. I was cheesing. I couldn't sit down at the airport. Lucky I booked my flight in time, but I just kept calling everybody and was just so excited to get back. I was the second person in the facility when we first can get in there. Richie beat me by, like, I think 2 minutes, and first one in today, and I'm going to be the first one in tomorrow. I have so much time off that it's time for football, so I'm trying to live and eat football, you know, as much as I can, trying to make up for the lost time.
And Terrell, you missed the OTAs, you missed the mini camps, and you stated that you had some concerns about possible injuries. Talk about that.
You know, I've been training the whole time, so I'm in great shape. But the one thing you can emulate and really get out of working out is practicing. You know, the running, the cutting, the covering, the falling, and just preparing your body for that. You know, running, covering fade routes and pursuing the ball, you know, really having to open up. So I think the coaches will do a good job of bringing us along slow so, you know, we don't have those little tweaks in our hamstrings or tightness, because it's going to be a different transition, you know what I mean? And they're going to have to bring us along slow. But, you know, that's my only concern. Other than that, you know, I'm ready to go. I hope that as a veteran team we can hit the ground running, you know, and have a little advantage going into the season, you know, compared to teams with first-year head coaches or rookie quarterbacks or rookies at key positions.
And Terrell, this new CBA, no more two-a-days. As a player, are you okay with that?
I'm excited that, you know, we're getting a little bit more benefits towards our health, you know, for safety measure and longevity in our career, because it could, you know, help us, you know, not having so many OTAs and two-a-days that, you know, it could give you another year or two towards the end of your career, because, you know, the two-a-days are hard at the same time, but in my opinion, two-a-days are a lot easier than one-a-days. Because one-a-days, you got walkthroughs, meetings, and it's one practice, so the coach is going to get everything out of you. You know what I mean? There's no cutting, no corners. But, you know, two-a-days, you're out there hour and a half, you know, tops. You know what I mean? Sometimes coaches will call it early because, you know, you have a second practice, less meetings. So it goes both ways. But, you know, it's an adjustment. The game is changing and evolving, you know, and we'll hit the ground running and just adjust to it along the way.
We're talking to Terrell Thomas, cornerback for the New York Giants. And Terrell, you've had back-to-back five interception seasons. One of your goals was to make Terrell Thomas a household name. Do you think you have done that?
I think I've done that. I think everybody's seen the numbers and the consistency over the last few years. You know, my main thing, when I have my really big games, we always lose for a reason. But, you know, I'm not concerned with that. You know, one thing I want to do is help my team get to the playoffs. We haven't been there in 2 years. And, you know, I kind of took the sense that I felt like if I would have made a couple more plays here and there, a play right here, maybe got a Pro Bowl nomination, that could have changed the aspect in our season. So that's my goal, is to get to the Pro Bowl, help my team get to the playoffs, and, you know, eventually get back to our Super Bowl winning ways.
And Terrell, one thing that impressed me about your game is your tackling ability. I mean, some corners are just cover guys, but you do it both. R. Kelly and Jay-Z got nothing on you. You are the best of both worlds. What is your mindset when it comes to tackling?
You know what? I have a background of being a safety linebacker in high school, and, you know, I'm just a football player. You know what I mean? I'm a jack of all trades. I'm not too good at one thing, but I can do it all. And, you know, the main thing I've been trying to do is perfect my skills at everything. And, you know, I've developed every year and got better in so many ways, and hopefully I can stay healthy and keep progressing in that direction. But, you know, I'm not scared to, you know, come up and hit a linebacker, and pretty much anything my team needs, you know, I'll do. And obviously, you know, tackling and coming up and forcing a run and taking on fullbacks on goal line, you know, I like that because I'm a little guy, you know, and I tackle a little punt. So sometimes you kind of get overlooked and you catch them off guard a little bit.
And Terrell, I look at this Giants team last season, and I saw a team that was the best team not to make the playoffs. And I think if you guys would have made the playoffs, you guys would have made some noise and could have made some noise. Did you guys kind of feel that way in the locker room after the season ended?
Without a doubt. We knew we gave a couple of games away early on towards the season, and we knew when we gave away that game at Philly that if we won the next 3 to 4 games and when we face them and get at home, that we could be playing for the NFC NFC East title. We knew what was at stake. I think you've seen it, how we came out. You know, we came out poised and ready and dominated for 3 quarters, but, you know, we just didn't finish at all. You know, as a team, we just kind of laid down. There was no desire. There was no fight. We kind of were just in awe. We didn't believe it was happening. Before we can react, it was too late. So, you know, it's a lesson learned this last year. You know, they lost the first round of the playoffs, so it really didn't matter. You know, what we could have done in the playoffs doesn't matter. All we're focused on is kind of a redemption. You know, the last 2 years we haven't made the playoffs, and that's not the Giant way. And, you know, we're going to be a very dominant defense. And if our offense scores 7 points, then we got to hold opponents to 3 points. And that's the way it is. You know, if we don't dominate on defense, then we're not going to be a good team at all.
And we got to talk about your arch rival, Philadelphia Eagles. This team has beat you guys 6 times in a row. There was a Twitter beef this offseason. O.C. Humayura and LeSean McCoy going back and forth on Twitter. Terrell, how do you feel about the Philadelphia Eagles?
I hate them straight up. You know, you can put it in press. Coach Coughlin might not like that, but, you know, it ain't nothing new. I dislike them. And like you said, they beat us 6 times. They kept us out of the playoffs. My rookie year, we're the #1 team in the NFL, NFC. And, you know, they beat us at home. And, you know, I really dislike them. It's a rivalry. And that's our #1 goal on my team this year, is to beat the Eagles. You know, we have our battle against Dallas. We've been really good against Washington, but they're making moves to become a better team. And seem like they're on their way, but, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, we always see them a way to give a game away, or they just beat us, you know, playing. So no excuses, you know, they're a good team, and they got our number right now, but, you know, we're coming back for them this year. You know what I mean? We get to play them early, and I'm kind of excited about that.
Now, Terrell, on this show, we like to play a game called Yes or No. I'll give you a topic. You tell me yes or no. You ready to play, sir?
Let's do it.
Lil Wayne is a better rapper than Jay-Z. Yes or no?
No, not at all.
And that surprised me, Terrell, because we had a lot of young guys on this show recently, and a lot of guys have been picking Lil Wayne over Jay-Z, and it just boggled my mind a little bit. But you're right,
you know,
Lil Wayne is not a better rapper than Jay-Z.
Lil Wayne's a great artist. He reaches a lot of people in different genres, but he's definitely not better than Jay. If you listen to his lyrics and really break them down, you know, he's speaking, you know, real life stuff, and you know, he's hip-hop, and he's a part of the game, and he's developed over his year. And, you know, Lil Wayne, you know, made top of one day, but right now he's not there yet.
USC will win a national title in the next 5 years, yes or no?
Of course, yes.
Even with all the sanctions, even with all that's going on there?
hey, we're still on probation. We got the number four recruiting class in the nation. So after this next year, wait for USC to come back strong.
Eli Manning is a top 100 player in the NFL, yes or no?
He's a top 150, so yes.
The New York Giants will win the NFC East.
I can't answer that. Not with my coach, but we're definitely pushing for it, and that's our goal.
Terrell Thomas will be a Pro Bowler in 2011.
Without a doubt, yes.
Terrell, thank you for playing the game. And Terrell, you're a guy that likes to give back to the community. Talk about your foundation.
I have my foundation. I really don't have a direction when I'm going, but I love to give back. I always held a camp the last 3 years of my rookie year in my hometown to give back to the local kids, to give them opportunities to meet NFL players. You never know what type of impact we can have in their lives to keep them to pursue a career of, you know, getting a great education, you know, free education, going to college, and, you know, hopefully one day being blessed enough to be a professional athlete. I also did a football camp in New Jersey this last year with Chris Jenkins. I do a lot of charitable work with Kenny Phillips during Christmas time. We always give back to the Boys and Girls Club in New York. So kind of find my way in which way I want to give back. But, you know, I was blessed. I'm a blessed individual. My mom has always taught me to give back and be humble. So, you know, anything I can do charitable or be a part of, I'm definitely there.
And, Terrell, where can we find information about this foundation?
TerrellThomas24.com.
And your Twitter address?
My Twitter is the same, TerrellThomas24. Please follow me. Let me get my game up.
Make sure you follow Terrell Thomas, TerrellThomas24, and make sure you support his foundation. I mean, he likes to give back to the community. We always hear about the negative about athletes, but let's talk about the positives. And Terrell Thomas is doing some positive things in the community. Keep it up, man.
All right, appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Terrell, thanks for stopping by, sir. Let's do it again, and good luck in this upcoming season.
Thanks, my man.
Terrell Thomas, cornerback, New York Football Giants. And like I said, and I look at that New York Giants team, and I say to myself, that is a ball club. If they would have gotten to the playoffs, they would have been a problem. They would have been a problem for a lot of teams. And I felt that, you know, a lot of teams, I believe it was all the teams that made the playoffs, I thought five of them, out of the six teams that made it, and I'm excluding the Seattle Seahawks, I thought five teams could make it to the Super Bowl. And I thought the Giants were the best team not to make the Super Bowl, and I think if they would have got in, they could have been a problem for a lot of teams. But Terrell Thomas, I mean, he's a guy I think that's ready to take that next step. I really do. And, I mean, two back-to-back seasons of five interceptions. I mean, the guy is doing this thing tackling-wise, too. He led the team in tackles. Corners, that doesn't happen for cornerbacks. So Terrell Thomas is a guy that I think is ready to take that next step. And I think Terrell Thomas will be a Pro Bowler next year if he continues to do what he has done the previous seasons. Appreciate Terrell Thomas for stopping by, and make sure you follow him on Twitter, TerrellThomas24. Follow him there. Said some good things, and also go to his website, TerrellThomas24.com. Hit it up. Support him. He's doing good things in the community. And, again, I always say, and I'll say it again, we always hear about the negatives, but we never really talk about the positives. And the positive is Terrell Thomas is doing some good things in the community. Keep it up, Terrell, and keep doing what you're doing. And good luck in this upcoming 2011 season. And it's going to be an exciting 2011 season. I'm looking forward to it. Football is back, everybody. It is back. It's exciting. The world can breathe again. We all can breathe again. And I was never concerned. If you listen to the show, I knew it was going to happen. I knew no games would be missed other than a Hall of Fame game. But no games have been missed. And it's a good thing. It's a great thing. Football is back, man. And you cannot ask for anything more or anything better. Football is back. Football is back. And that's very, very, very exciting. The second hour of Go For It starts now. Oh, second hour of Go For It. That first hour was jam-packed. Willie Rofe stopped on by. Lorenzo Alexander, linebacker for the Washington Redskins, stopped by. And Terrell Thomas of the New York Football Giants stopped on by. Jam-packed hour. And Terrell Thomas, he hates the Philadelphia Eagles. He said it. He hates the Philadelphia Eagles. And that is great for rivalries in the National Football League. That's great. It's great. It's great when guys are coming out and say, you know what? I hate that team. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. And it's going to be when those two teams get together, it's always a beautiful thing. That is some great, great football. Great football. And I enjoy Eagles, Giants, Meadowlands, the new Meadowlands, whether it be the new Meadowlands or Lincoln Financial Field. It's beautiful football. Beautiful football. Physical football. Lovely football. And football is back. Football, 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 football is back. You can't say it. You can say it a lot of times, and it just feels great to say it. The National Football League is back, everybody. How exciting is that? How exciting is that to have football back in the city, baby? It's great. Football is back, everybody. It is back. All right, we get the point. Football is back, and that's a great thing. And how exciting is that? And let's talk about some more moves, shall we? Let's talk about some more, and let's start with Plaxico Burress. It looks like Plax has narrowed the field down to two teams: New York Giants, Pittsburgh Steelers. He had dinner with Tom Coughlin on Friday night, and he's also going to go to Pittsburgh to meet with Coach Mike Tomlin. Talk to him. And so Plaxico Burress right now, and no one thought that Burress would ever go back to the New York Giants, especially after his comments and his in an interview earlier in talking about Tom Coughlin. But, you know, the reality is, I mean, guys can make up, and guys can, you know, they can do things. They got to do what they got to do. Grown men can squash beefs, and that's what they're trying to do here. But I look at the New York Giants, and I say this. In terms of their wide receivers, I actually like the Giants' wide receivers. I really do. I like them a lot. I mean, you know, you got Hakeem Nicks, a guy who playmaker, big-time playmaker at the wide receiver position. I really like him a lot. I mean, and you also have Mario Manningham, who had to put up some decent numbers last year for the New York Giants, and people forget. Eli Manning threw for over 4,000 yards. He threw for over 4,000 yards, and you look at it, I'm looking at their wideouts. I mean, Manningham had caught 60 balls, close to 1,000 yards receiving, and 9 touchdowns, and Hakeem Nicks caught 79 balls, over 1,000 yards, and 11 touchdowns. So, in terms of wide receivers, I mean, Plex definitely makes them better. But I don't think it's a big-time need for the New York Giants. And I think, you know, wherever he signs, Plaxico Burress has to be on his best behavior. He has no choice. Like a Randy Moss, like a Michael Vick, those guys, or more so Michael Vick, those guys, Michael Vick had to be on his best behavior if he wanted to stick around in the NFL. Plaxico Burress is the same thing. He has to be on his best behavior, if he wants to stick around in this league. So I think he is going to be on his best behavior because he has no choice. The guy has no choice. He has to do the right things. He has to do the right things, and I think he will. I really think he will, and I think, you know, we'll see what happens, whether he goes back to Pittsburgh where it started, or he goes to the New York Giants. I think Plaxico Burress is going to be on his best behavior. And I don't think you have to worry about it. I think Plex has learned his lesson. Hopefully, well, you can't say definitively, but hopefully the guy has learned his lesson and will be ready to go where, no matter where he goes, whether it's Pittsburgh or New York. And Donovan McNabb, I want to go back to that. Donovan, the deal has been taken care of. It has been finalized. I know they had to restructure his contract in order to make this deal, but it's been restructured and it's finalized, and Donovan McNabb will be a part of the Minnesota Vikings. And it's a good situation for Donovan McNabb, I believe. I mean, it's an opportunity to be with a top-flight running back in Adrian Peterson. I mean, Adrian Peterson is arguably the best running back in the game of football. He's a playmaking, home run hitting, big time back. He's a big time back, no doubt about it. Point blank, he is a big time back, and he gets it done. He definitely gets it done. And I look at that situation, and I look at Donovan now, and this is an opportunity for him to kind of prove the doubters wrong, to kind of show everybody that, you know what, I can still play this game at a high level. Forget about my career high 15 interceptions. Forget about being benched for Rex Grossman. Forget about not being able to compete for a starting job against Rex Grossman and John Beck, and also Kellen Clemens, who they brought in today as well. I mean, obviously, Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, those guys really did not feel or did not think very highly of Donovan McNabb. Threw 14 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. And everybody knew this was going to happen. It was a foregone conclusion. I mean, everybody knew this was inevitable. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew that that contract that he signed, and initially when he signed that contract with Washington near the end of last season, 6 years, $78 million, a lot of people, when it first came out, a lot of people were just scratching their heads because it truly was a head-scratcher at that point. But as you really looked at the details of the contract, you realized the only thing that was guaranteed was $3.5 million, a $3.5 million raise. That was the only thing that has been guaranteed and was guaranteed. But you look at it now, excuse me, you look at it now, Donovan McNabb, this is a great opportunity for him. This is a great, great opportunity for him. A very good opportunity.
We're now.
And I'm excited for him. I'm definitely excited for Donovan McNabb. Definitely excited.
Okay.
Hey,
what up?
That.
It's Corey Almeida, a.k.a. Corey Live, host of Pixurica on the Hub and warm-up host for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars. And right now, you are listening to Go For It on Blog Talk Radio with my man, Paulie G and Jeremy. Get it!
Corey Live, we getting it, and we're getting it all day and all night, baby. And I was going to go back to Donovan now for a second as I was just coughing there and a little under the weather, and I'm struggling through this show, but I'm getting it through, and struggling right there for a second. I had to bring in my man Corey Live to big up the show. But if I look at Donovan, I mean, again, this is his opportunity to tell the world that I can still play football at a high level. I'm still the same old Donovan McNabb. Last year was an aberration. That wasn't me. He had that opportunity. He has that opportunity, and also he will be reunited with Leslie Frazier, who was a position coach with him in Philadelphia. So Leslie knows his game pretty well. He knows his game pretty well. He knows what Donovan can do, and he's bringing him in. And, you know, Donovan's probably going to be a guy who starts maybe this year or the next year, 2 years at the most with Minnesota, unless he just plays incredibly out of his mind, because they have Christian Ponder waiting in the wings, 12th overall pick. And, you know, and I think Donovan's going to be the type of guy that will groom Ponder. And I think it's a good fit for Minnesota, a great fit for the Minnesota Vikings. And you're not going to find a better quarterback out there. Everybody talks about Hasselbeck, talks about Kyle Orton, Kevin Cobb. But for my money, Donovan McNabb, to me, is a guy that can still get this thing done. He has some good football left in him. He has some good football left in him. And if you don't believe it, you'll see it this year, I believe. Donovan has some big football left in him. He has a lot to prove. And I think he's going to find a way to prove it. I mean, they gave him away for two hoagies and a cup of juice. I mean, two six-round draft picks, one a conditional six-round draft pick. So they gave him away for essentially nothing. And, you know, and I guess for them it's addition by subtraction in a lot of ways. And Donovan is moving on again, and he's moving on to Minnesota in a good position, a team with a good defense, a team with a good running game, but a team that will miss Sidney Rice, who signed with the Seattle Seahawks today. I mean, Sidney Rice was a guy that I thought Brett Favre missed last year, a guy that I thought really hurt the situation in Minnesota and really hurt Brett Favre in Minnesota. I mean, he was a guy that put up big-time numbers two seasons ago for the Minnesota Vikings, big-time numbers. And that's one of the reasons Sidney Rice is getting the contract that he's getting. I mean, he's getting some good big-time money for the Seattle Seahawks, and he will be reunited with the offensive coordinator, Bevel, and also be reunited with his quarterback in Minnesota, Tavares Jackson, who signed with the Seattle Seahawks. So you have Tavares Jackson in there, and you also have Sidney Rice. And Sidney Rice, again, is a guy who had some injury issues last year, struggled with a hip injury for most of the 2010 season. Now he has an opportunity, new contract in hand, new team, and an opportunity to kind of prove to, you know, everybody that 2010 was just an aberration and that it was a byproduct of his injuries. But it's a great signing by the Seattle Seahawks, and I think it's a team, I think it's a situation and a signing that if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you're really going to miss this guy a lot. You're definitely going to miss this guy a lot. Now, where do you go? Do you possibly throw money at a Braylon afterwards? Do you throw money at a Steve Smith who is still out there? Where do you go? Do you throw money at, do you give Randy Moss another shot? I doubt that, but just throw it out there. I mean, so there's some wide receivers out there that you can bring in to kind of replace what you lost with Sidney Rice. And Sidney Rice, again, he signed with the Seattle Seahawks, and Seattle's, you know, changing the culture there, changing some things, and good for the Seattle Seahawks, good for Sidney Rice, good for Tavares Jackson. Tavares Jackson's a guy who gets an opportunity now to start to prove the doubters wrong, and Sidney Rice is a guy, I mean, not Sidney Rice, Tavares Jackson, a guy who has led the Vikings to the playoffs. A lot of people forget that. Yes, he's no Brett Favre, obviously. Yes, he's not Brett Favre. There's no getting around that. That's simple, plain, obvious. He's no Brett Favre. But he's a guy. He is a guy. He is a guy that, in my mind, has ability, has potential. Will a change of scenery do this guy good? I think it may. A change of scenery may do him good. And, again, it's going to be familiar with him, especially with Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator for Minnesota now in Seattle. I mean, that's going to be familiar for him. That's going to be familiar water, familiar territory for this guy. And we'll see what happens with Tavares Jackson. He's going to be competing with Charlie Whitehurst, quarterback last year for Seattle. And we'll see what happens going forward there. Also, Santonio Holmes, I want to go back to him. He signed 5 years, $50 million, $24 million, which is guaranteed. And it's one of the biggest contracts ever given to a wide receiver, second to Larry Fitzgerald. So you look at it, and it means that the Jets have decided that they're going to go in the direction of Santonio Holmes over Braylon Edwards. And I look at that, and I say it's the right move. It's definitely the right move. I mean, Santonio Holmes is a playmaking wide receiver. Santonio Holmes is a big time. He's a stud. He's a home run hitting stud. And he came on and missed the first four games. Played only 12 games, 52 balls, 746 yards, 6 touchdowns. The guy gets it done. The guy definitely gets it done. And so you look at Santonio Holmes, he deserved the contract that he got. And many are saying that he could have got more elsewhere, but he decided that the New York Jets was where he wanted to be, and he will be there for the 2011 season and beyond. And that means an end to the Braylon Edwards era with the New York Jets. And Braylon Edwards, again, another guy, I think he had a big-time season for the New York Jets, another guy that I believe is a playmaking type, big-time wide receiver, big, strong wide receiver. He had a great year for the New York Jets last year. But the Jets had to choose between the two. and they chose San Antonio Holmes, obviously, which is the better of the two, and which is the better move. But Braylon Edwards can play football, everybody. He can still get it done in this league. And we'll see where Braylon goes. And like I said, Minnesota, they need a number one wide receiver. You know, I mean, so that could be a destination for Braylon Edwards. But we'll see what happens going forward. But there are teams who need wideouts. And like I said, where Braylon Edwards goes, no one knows at this point. But he's definitely going to go somewhere. But Braylon Edwards right now, he will be leaving the New York Jets, no doubt about it. And we talked about the New York Jets and their situation. They're in talks, apparently, with Nnamdi Asomugh, the cornerback for the Oakland Raiders, big-time shutdown corner. And just like Willie Rowe said, and I agree with Willie, I think you have to – I don't think you can put all that money into one position. I understand Nnamdi is a shutdown corner, Revis is a shutdown corner, but Antonio Cromartie ain't that bad. Antonio Cromartie is going to cost you less money. And it's going to cost you less money. And therefore, you don't have all that money tied into one position player, one position, and that's cornerback. You're putting a lot of money there. And if, you know, there's talks that Asomugh could get in excess of $12 million, and Revis is going to get $11.5 million this season. So you're talking about $23.5 million tied up in cornerbacks. That's a lot. And granted, with Rex Ryan's aggressive defense, corners are asked to do a lot. But do you put all that money into that one position? Do you put all that money into one position? Is it beneficial for your franchise to put all that money into one position? And I say at this point, I have to say no. I have to really have to say no. And I think the Jets would be better off finding that guy to replace a Braylon Edwards and bringing in an Antonio Cromartie back, bringing him back into the fold. Also, you look at it, Randy Moss is out there, and there's been talk that the Jets could land Randy Moss. And me and Willie, we disagreed on this, but I thought Randy Moss, with all the reports saying that Randy Moss is in tip-top shape, Randy Moss is really out there to prove that he can still play this game at a high level. I think it's a good move and would be a good move for the New York Jets to bring this guy in at a cheap price. I mean, it's not going to cost you a lot. And that's the big thing. It's not going to cost you a lot. I mean, it's a low-risk, high-reward type of move in my mind. And granted, there's been, you know, people can say he could poison a locker room, but I think there's enough people in there to police that locker room. A lot of veterans in there. Bart Scott's in there. He can police that locker room. Darrelle Revis is in there to police that locker room. I think you have a lot of guys in there to police that locker room. And, you know, I think with that being said, it'll be a good situation for Randy Moss, a really good situation for him. And hopefully Moss is really serious about changing some things and being that team player and being that guy, that team guy, and being a good soldier. You know, it's a great move. It's definitely a great move, but we'll see what happens going forward here. We'll see what happens with that whole situation. But does Randy Moss go to the New York Jets? I think it's an economical replacement. And I think, again, high reward, low risk type of move. You don't have to give him a lot of money. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to give him big time money in order to bring him in. You don't. You really don't. So I think, you know, if I'm the New York Jets, that's a move that I think about very seriously. So we'll see going forward what happens with this. Do the New York Jets bring in a Randy Moss? And is that a good fit for the New York Jets? I say yes. I think it's worth the risk. Willie Rowe says no. And I just think Randy Moss has game. And I think... You know, we'll see what happens with T.O., but many are saying that T.O. could be ready by August or by the start of the season. I say, you know, if that truly is the case, I mean, an ACL injury, it is an ACL injury. A lot of people say it's a 2-year injury. It takes 2 years to truly get your legs right after an ACL tear. Is T.O. a guy that can come back and do the necessary things and be the team guy? And does he, I mean, T.O.'s old. He's older now. He's not young anymore. So can he go in there and still put up the numbers and still play some big-time football for your franchise? Again, he's probably, I don't envision a scenario where the guy will be ready. I don't think he'll be ready by the start of the NFL season. I don't see that happening. But, you know, what happens should be interesting. But a T.O.'s still out there, and that's, you know, that's a good situation for whoever wants to scoop him up, whoever wants to bring him in. But we'll see what happens going forward with that one. And Kyle Orton, he's a guy, according to a lot of reports, the Dolphins and the Broncos are in talks to bring Kyle Orton in. And, you know, and that means that the Denver Broncos are turning the page on Kyle Orton, and they're going with Tim Tebow, a guy that, you know, Tim Tebow's a guy that, I mean, a lot of people talk about his leadership abilities, his intangibles, his off-the-field conduct, the way he conducts himself, how great of a person he is. But great people don't win championships. And I'm not one who's sold on Tim Tebow. I'm really not sold on this guy at all. Not the fastest guy. And, you know, he does have a great arm, but not the most accurate guy. I don't think Tim Tebow can be a good quarterback in this league. I think Tim Tebow, when it's all said and done, is a hybrid. He's a slash, if you will. He's a Cordell Stewart playing all those different positions. He may be a Brad Smith type of guy. I don't think Tim Tebow is an NFL quarterback. I really don't. And it's just, you know, and obviously the Denver Broncos and John Elway believe that he is. He is a championship type of quarterback. They believe that he is. Obviously, they believe that he is. And also, one thing about Tim Tebow, one thing I think he brings to this whole situation is marketability. I mean, Tim Tebow is a guy that, you know, you look at him, he's a guy that you can definitely market him very well. I mean, all the things that he does, he has a new book out. I mean, the guy who just lives his life the right way. I mean, he's the guy who lives his life the right way. He lives his life the right way, and that's good. That's a good situation. That's a great thing. And we cannot minimize living the right way, but does living the right way win championships? Does living the right way, does that really help you win championships? Does that lead you to the playoffs? Does living the right way do that? Does all the intangibles, does that win championships? It helps. But if you don't have tangible skills, if you don't have what it takes to be a championship type of quarterback, then I don't think, you know, he's a guy that you bring in. I mean, I don't think he's a guy that you can just say, you know what, we're putting our franchise on the backs of Tim Tebow. I just don't think he's that type of quarterback, and I would think that, you know, you look at it that the Denver Broncos may have been better served to keep a Kyle Orton. I'm not a big Tim Tebow fan on the field, love the guy off the field, love all the things that he does, but I'm not a big Tim Tebow guy on the field. I'm just not. I'm not a Tim Tebow guy on the field. But, you know, he has a lot of grit. According to Brian Dawkins, Tim Tebow has a lot of grit, a lot of determination, and he is as advertised as being a fiery guy. Those are the words of Brian Dawkins, and Brian Dawkins is a veteran. Brian Dawkins is a guy who's been around the NFL for a very long time. And, you know, so, again, I'm not a big Tebow guy, but, I mean, a lot of people believe in him. John Elway, he's a guy who has won championships in this league. He's a guy who's done a lot of great things in the league. So John Elway does have a pedigree. We'll see if he's a great talent evaluator. That's a whole different animal. I mean, Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player ever to live, but not the greatest talent evaluator. So we'll see what happens going forward with Tim Tebow. But Kyle Orton looks like he's going to head over to Miami. Whether he backs up Chad Henne or whether there will be a competition with Chad Henne to determine who will be the starter will be interesting as well. Chad Henne, a guy the Dolphins seem to be very high on, but Kyle Orton, we'll see what happens with him. And does he become a starter in Miami? Or does it become a battle between him and Chad Henne to determine who the starter will be? We will see. But also looking at it, speaking of Miami and everything, you got to look at Vince Young, a guy that who's still out here. The Titans pretty much are done with the guy, and they're going to trade him or release him, probably trade him. But Vince Young is a guy that who I believe, I mean, he has some good football in him. As a championship, I don't know if he's a championship caliber football quarterback, but I know he's a quarterback who can lead his team to a playoff, to the playoffs, and he's done that with the Tennessee Titans. He definitely has done that. But I look at Vince Young and I say I say to myself, you know, what's a good situation for Vince Young? And truthfully, I think a good situation for Vince Young would be Philadelphia, a place where he can back up Michael Vick, a place where he can get some good tutoring and get some great knowledge from Andy Reid. Say what you will about Andy Reid. Say he's never won a championship. Say he's failed three, four times in NFC title games. But the guy knows quarterbacks, and the guy knows how to develop quarterbacks. Donovan McNabb, he developed him. Donovan McNabb is arguably a Hall of Fame quarterback. Michael Vick came out of prison, in prison for 18 months. He came out a different guy, and Andy Reid coached him up lovely. And Michael Vick put up big-time numbers, and big-time numbers in a way that led the Philadelphia Eagles to the playoffs, and a team that many believe, with Michael Vick at the quarterback position, could lead the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl. And that is a byproduct of the coaching by Andy Reid. Andy Reid knows how to coach these guys up, knows how to coach quarterbacks up, and he did a great job coaching up. Michael Vick did a great job coaching up Donovan McNabb, and did a great job coaching up Kevin Cobb. So the guy knows quarterbacks. He knows quarterbacks, and, you know, you can't get around that. He knows quarterbacks. Again, say what you will about Andy Reid. Say you don't like him. Say he's not a good game day coach, not a good clock manager. But the guy knows quarterbacks. He knows quarterbacks, and he knows how to coach him up. And he coached up Donovan McNabb. He coached up Michael Vick. And he coached up Kevin Cobb. And he made these guys into some very good players, very good quarterbacks. So I personally think that Philadelphia would be a great destination for Vince Young. It gives him an opportunity kind of to relax a little bit. Does not have the pressure of being the guy which he had in Tennessee, and what he would have if he went to any other place and became a starter. Does not have that same type of pressure, and that's important. He doesn't have that same type of pressure. He can come in, kind of relax a little bit, kind of get himself ready, get himself right, learn under Andy Reid, again, a guy who knows quarterbacks, knows how to develop quarterbacks. He knows them. He knows them very well. The proof is in the pudding. So I think it would be a good situation for VY kind of to take a step back, kind of, you know, get his mind right, if you will, and you know, kind of work on some things, progress, and ultimately get better and learn the game better and become a better quarterback, if not for this situation, for his next situation. So I think if I'm Vince Young, Philadelphia would be the place I would go to. I would sign with the Philadelphia Eagles, back up Michael Vick, and learn from there and take it from there and kind of make my next move off of that. And speaking of backing up Michael Vick, there's been talks or reports Brett Favre, Eagles had some interest in Brett Favre. A lot of people have denied that that is the case. And can Brett Favre ever go away? Will Brett Favre ever go away? I mean, we hear about this guy all the time. Will he ever go away? I guess not. He still has not gone away. But Brett Favre, there's been talks that the Eagles have wanted Brett Favre. Obviously, I don't think that's true. Brett Favre is going away. I don't think he'll be back ever again. I don't think he'll be back, and I think he's done, and which is a good thing. You're listening to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com/pgant. Be joined very shortly now by model and actress Caitlin O'Connor. And Caitlin right now, she's vying to be a hometown hottie for Maxim magazine, and she's going to be joining us very shortly now, and we're going to talk about that contest and see what's going on with her, and that should be very interesting to see, you know, how do you prepare to be a hometown hottie, and what do you do to be a hometown hottie, and so it's going to be interesting to get Caitlin's point of view there. And, you know, hometown hotties is a thing that Maxim magazine has been doing for the last few years now and generates a lot of buzz. And so I'm sure she's very excited about this and be interesting and look forward to talking to her on that subject. And I want to go back to Brett Favre again. And, you know, it's time for Brett Favre to go away, and I think he is going away. I don't think he will be coming back. But, you know, we look at Brett Favre, and last summer around this time, that's all we talked about is Brett Favre and, you know, what will he or won't he. One day he's retired. The next day he wants to play. Then the next day he wants to play again. And the next day he wants to retire. And so on and so forth, on again, off again, the whole situation. Got very annoying down the stretch there. Very annoying, and a lot of people hated talking about it. I truly hated talking about it. And, you know, the guy is he's a diva when it comes to that. And, you know, he wanted the attention. He got the attention from a lot of different people. And so, you know, but ultimately he retired, and he had a subpar year, a year that I predicted. I predicted that Brett Favre would have the year that he had. He didn't have a good year last year, and I predicted it. And I thought he would take that step back, and he took that step back. He had his opportunity. His opportunity was against the New Orleans Saints, but he threw the ball away in that football game and down the stretch there, and they just fumbled and intercepted their way out of the Super Bowl and out of that game against the New Orleans Saints, a game that they should have won, and I'm sure it's a game that he's probably kicking himself about at this point. But, you know, it is what it is, and Brett Favre again, he's retired and never to come back, hopefully. And one thing about Brett Favre, one thing about Allen Iverson, it's just not in their DNA to be bench players. Those guys don't come off the bench. Allen Iverson does not come off the bench, though he will have to come off the bench if he wants to return to the NFL now, and he said he's willing to do that. Brett Favre does not come off the bench. That's just not who he is. It's not in his DNA to come off the bench. It's just not in his DNA. It's just not who he is as a person. Those guys don't come off the bench. They just don't do it. They don't come off the bench. It's just not who they are. And that's why it would not be a situation where I don't think it would. Obviously, that's why it would not happen. It's just not his DNA to back up anybody. And Brett Favre, he's not a backup. It's just not who he is. He does not back people up. He's not a backup. He's not coming off the bench. It's just not in his DNA. It's just not who he is. And Michael Vick had a tweet about Brett Favre, which he later erased about him coming to Philadelphia and how great it would be. But Michael, I mean, he's a guy that probably and may go behind your back to kind of win the locker room, if you will. So I don't think Brett Favre obviously is a backup, and obviously the reports probably are not true. And you know, so I don't expect Brett Favre again to make a comeback. Brett Favre's days as a quarterback in the NFL are over. They're over. They're over. They're over. And it is a good thing. The fans are going wild. They're loving it, too. They're loving it just as much as I am. And I'm loving it a lot. I'm loving the fact that Brett Favre, we don't have to talk about him. And why am I talking about him now? I guess I'm just like everybody else. Why am I talking about Brett Favre? He's gone. He's gone. He's out of the mix. He's out of the picture. Brett Favre is somewhere in Mississippi enjoying the fruits of his labor because he stole some money last year the way he played. He stole some money. He stole some money from the Minnesota Vikings, and no one has to go out there to Mississippi and kind of coax him into playing. No one has to take a plane or a car or a train or anything to coax this guy into playing football. No one has to do it, and thank goodness no one is doing it. Thank goodness we're not hearing about it. You know, I mean, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. No more Brett Favre talk. No more Brett Favre talk. And I talked about, you know, this whole lockout thing, and we talked about it on Saturday, and I talked about it throughout the whole summer. I knew at this point that, you know, this time would come. We all knew the season wouldn't be canceled. We all knew the regular season would not be canceled. We all knew that none of these regular season games wouldn't be missed. We all knew that was going to be the case. At least I knew it. Anybody that had some nervousness or any type of trepidation about it, you know, I mean, you had to know, come on. You had to know, come on, that football was going to come back. It was going to come back. You had to know it. You'd be an absolute fool to believe that football was not going to be played. You'd be an absolute fool to realize that, you know, people, the NFL, the players, you knew that they weren't going to risk all this money that's out there. They're not going to risk that. They're not going to risk that. You knew it. You knew it. At least I knew it. And, again, there was nothing to be concerned about. And, you know, I wasn't concerned. And, you know, I wasn't concerned at all. And it's a great thing to talk football again, talk on-the-field stuff. And that's always fun. I love talking on-the-field stuff. And that's exactly what we're doing at this point. Talking on-the-field stuff. Talking about the stuff on the field. That's beautiful. Talking on-the-field stuff. We all love talking on-the-field stuff. I hate talking about labor negotiations and how much this costs and percentage that players would get and all that. I hated talking about that. That stuff wasn't fun to me. That it was just not fun. There's nothing fun about talking about CBA negotiations. There's nothing fun and nothing exciting in seeing Jeff Saturday in a suit. That's not exciting to me. That's not exciting at all. It's just not. That's not very exciting to me. And I don't think that wasn't exciting to anybody in the National Football League, any of its fans. None of that stuff was exciting to talk about. It's just great to talk about what's on the field. That is great. It's great to talk about what's on the field and how guys are playing on the field and how guys will contribute on the field. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. That is good stuff, and that's what we all like to talk about. That is what we all like to talk about. On the field stuff. Not off the field, not contract negotiations, not CBA negotiations, but on the field stuff. And that's what we love talking about. And we're now going to talk to actress, model, Miss Caitlin O'Connor. Caitlin, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing very well, doing very well. And Caitlin, right now, you're vying to become Maxim's hometown hottie. Currently, you are a semifinalist. What would it mean to you to win that coveted crown?
People need to go on to Maxim.com and vote for me. You can Google Caitlin from Valley Village, California, and watch my video and read my interview and look at my photos, and then like it on Facebook or vote.
And what would it mean to become a hometown hottie? What would that mean to you?
It would mean so much to me. I've been reading Maxim since I was a little girl. And when you win Maxim's Hometown Hottie, you win a prize package worth $25,000 and a spread and potential cover of Maxim magazine, and that would be amazing.
And that definitely would be amazing. That's some good money there. And I was reading about you. Obviously, you're lovely. Obviously, you're talented. And I'm looking at your profile, and I saw one of the craziest things you've done is you bought a guy an iPad on the first date. First of all, why? And secondly, are you still with this guy?
I am still with this guy. I've been with him for 3 years, and we're engaged. But on our first date, we went to a computer store. We passed by Best Buy, and he really wanted a new computer, and I couldn't really buy it for him at that time. But later, I bought it for him, and he was really surprised and really happy that I did that.
And I would be surprised, and I would be happy if someone did that for me as well. And I'm looking at your pictures. Obviously, they're lovely. Obviously, they're beautiful. But how does Caitlin keep herself in tip-top shape?
I do a lot of rock climbing, and my boyfriend and I go to Runyon Canyon, and we work out there with our dogs, and it's a really great place in Los Angeles to go. And I also do the stairs in my apartment building. I love to run up and down the stairs. That's kind of goofy, but it works.
And obviously it's working to a T. And you were actually named Sports Illustrated Lovely Lady of the Day. How honored were you to win that award?
That was very random. I actually had a fan message me on Facebook saying he saw me on SportsIllustrated.com. I didn't even know I was winning that award, and I saw myself online. It was fun.
And sounds like a lot of fun. We're talking to Caitlin O'Connor, actress and model. And Caitlin's vying to be Maxim's hometown hottie. She is a semifinalist right now. And Caitlin, you've been performing on stage as you're an actor since the age of 3. I mean, how'd you get started in acting?
My parents were both in the business, and they met on the set of the TV show Knock's Landing. And my mother was just had one line on the show, and my father was head of transportation. And they fell in love, and I kind of grew up in the scene, and I always wanted to model and act. And the first break for me was meeting Crystal Harris, the girl that just left Hugh Hefner at the altar. And she met me at the gas station, and she invited me up to the Playboy Mansion. And from there, I started modeling and acting and doing radio shows like this and getting some fans to support me.
And what do you prefer more? Do you prefer to acting or do you prefer to modeling?
I love both, and I'm getting into acting. I just did a TV pilot called The Splice, and I'm thinking it's going to be a really big hit. I can't say which network it's going to yet, but it was really fun, and I really enjoy acting a lot more than modeling.
And right now, Caitlin, you're 21 years old. Again, you appeared in many magazines. You've done some short feature movies. And, you know, you're still a student at UCLA. You got a boyfriend. You're acting. You're modeling. Where do you have time to have fun? Where do you find that time to have fun?
Everything I do is fun. I don't do anything in my life without having fun. So going on auditions and going to shoots. Like today I shot for Dreamgirl lingerie. It will be coming out in the fall. It was fun. My job is really fun, so I have nothing to complain about.
And it definitely does sound like a lot of fun. And like we said, you've done a lot of various spreads for many magazines, to this point, what has been your favorite?
It was really an honor, actually, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, the Sports Illustrated Lady of the Day. And being a semifinalist in Maxim's Hometown Hotties was a dream of mine as well. So I hope I make the top 10. I hope everybody goes to vote for me on Maxim.com. It would be a real honor.
And how did you get discovered for that?
I sent in my photos on Maxim.com, and out of 2,000 entries, they picked 1,000. And then from the 1,000, they picked 100 who got the top vote. And we had to do a sexy video. So on everybody's profile, you can watch a sexy video of each girl.
And how fun was doing that sexy video?
It was a lot of fun. I got in the pool, and I did one of those classic scenes where I get out of the pool and I flick my hair back and walk out. It was really fun. It was goofy. I washed a car, and I put on my bathing suit, and I had somebody film me washing my car. It was fun.
We're talking to Caitlin O'Connor, actress and model. Again, Caitlin is vying to become Maxim's Hometown Hottie. And Caitlin, make your pitch to the world. Why should Caitlin O'Connor be Maxim's Hometown Hottie?
Because I am really in love with modeling, and Maxim is one of my favorite magazines. But most importantly, the prize package of worth $25,000 is really important to me, and I'm hoping to buy my grandmother a car soon with the money I'm making modeling, because she really needs a car. So if everybody can vote for me, I'll even send out to 100 people who like it on Facebook, I want to send out a signed photo, a bikini photo, to each person, the first 100 that like it on Facebook.
And so if you were to win this, you get the 25 grand, what kind of car would you buy your grandma?
She wants a Buick, a new Buick. I'm not quite sure which model, but that's her dream car.
Okay. And so you would get the Buick for your grandma, and that's a great thing, and that's a, you know, that's a good thing. And Caitlin, I was reading your profile, and again, I saw that your favorite football team is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do you think the Steelers will get back to the Super Bowl?
I am sure they will. I went to high school in Pittsburgh, so the spirit, the Steelers spirit there in Pittsburgh is like no other. There are terrible towels on every inch of the city. And it's a great place to live, great place to be raised in.
And definitely, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan myself, and Steelers fans, there are some interesting fans, and there's some very passionate football fans, and that's a good thing. You know, Steelers fans are very passionate in what they believe in. Sounds like you're very passionate in what you believe. Are you excited that the lockout is over?
Oh, yes, I'm very, very excited.
Yeah,
I want everybody
to
get back to work, start making money, stop changing their name to Ron Artest change his name to World Peace.
Meta World Peace.
Meta World Peace.
Yeah, you definitely want guys to stop changing their names to crazy names. Meta World Peace is a crazy name. And Caitlin, where do you see your career five years from now? Where do you see yourself?
I hope to continue the show that I'm working on right now, and I hope to one day star in my own sitcom on NBC.
Why NBC?
It's been one of my favorite stations since I was a little girl, and I know a lot of girls from the old TV show Deal or No Deal, and they always said NBC was a great network to work for.
And you've done a lot of things behind the scenes. Talk about that.
I first got a taste of behind-the-scenes work with my dad, who works in Transpo and is in the Teamsters Union and does a lot of TV and film work. And I was on the set of Pirates of the Caribbean, and I got to meet Johnny Depp, and that was my first real behind-the-scenes little role that I had in the clothing department, in the wardrobe department with Penny Rose.
Okay. Now, Caitlin, on this show, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I'll give you two topics. You tell me who's better. You ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
Better looking, Brad Pitt or your boyfriend?
My boyfriend.
Okay, let's do it again. How about Leonardo DiCaprio or your boyfriend?
They look exactly alike, and they get confused for each other all the time. My boyfriend looks exactly like Leo, so I would choose both of them at once if I can.
If, I guess that is possible. Better sandwich, the Whopper or the Big Mac?
Oh, no, I don't eat either of those sandwiches, but I would go with the Whopper because that was my grandfather's favorite sandwich ever, so the Whopper.
Better store, Walmart or Target?
Walmart?
Why Walmart?
Walmart is cheaper.
Walmart is actually cheaper. I would agree with you on that one. I would go with Walmart myself. Better hometown hottie, Ashley from Houston, Texas, or Caitlin O'Connor?
I would have to go with myself, Caitlin O'Connor from Valley Village, California.
And where can we find information about hometown hotties, and where can we vote for you?
You can find it on Maxim.com by searching for hometown hotties and finding Caitlin from Valley Village, or you can watch tonight's podcast of the Philip DeFranco show, and he gives a direct link to where to vote for me, so search for PhillyBTV.com.
Okay. And we're also going to post it on our Twitter page, at GoForItGam. We're going to post it on there, and hopefully Caitlin can get some votes, and she can become the hometown hottie.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
And Caitlin, where can we find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, I am at Caitlin_O'Connor, O-C-O-N-N-O-R.
And you also have a website.
I do. It's CaitlinO'Connor.tv, so not .com, .tv.
So make sure you go there, CaitlinO'Connor.tv and Caitlin_O'Connor, and that's at Twitter. So make sure you go to those two places. Check out what she's been doing. She's doing a lot of great things. And this is an up-and-coming star here, everybody. Caitlin O'Connor, we wish you nothing but the best of luck. Good luck with this contest. And again, one more time, tell us where we can vote to make sure you will become Maxim's hometown hottie.
Go on Maxim.com and search for Caitlin from Valley Village, California.
Caitlin, we wish you nothing but the best of luck. We hope you win that $25,000. We hope that you can get a Buick for your grandmother and, you know, she'll get the car of her dreams. Caitlin, good luck to you. Best of luck.
Thank
you. It was a pleasure talking to you. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Kisses to everybody listening. Bye. Bye-bye.
Take care. Caitlin O'Connor, actress, model, and Caitlin is vying to become Maxim's hometown hottie. She is on her way. She's a semifinalist now. Make sure you check it out. Go to her website, CaitlinO'Connor.tv, and also make sure you go to her Twitter page, Caitlin_O'Connor, and that's her Twitter page. Make sure you go there. Support her and support all that she's doing. And she wants to become Maxim's hometown hottie, and it's nice. She wants to buy a Buick for her mother. That's a beautiful thing, and you know that's great. That's a great thing, and hopefully she can get it done, and hopefully she can win the coveted prize of becoming Maxim's hometown hottie. Caitlin O'Connor, wish her nothing but the best of luck with that whole situation. It's about that time, everybody. Each and every week, we have to name someone and decide and call out the man, the woman, the person who has been stupid. This time, we're going to call somebody out. And I'm going to call out, believe it or not, I'm going to call out the Arizona Cardinals for many reasons. One reason is their trade for Kevin Cobb. Not only did the Arizona Cardinals give up a second-round draft pick, not only did the Arizona Cardinals give up Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, whom in my mind is a very good corner. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is a very good corner. Not only did they give that up, but they decided to give Kevin Cobb a guaranteed $30 million. $30 million in guarantees to a guy 3-4 as a starter to a guy, 11 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, to a guy that has shown ability, but to a guy who's not, we don't know who he is. Anybody that can sit here and tell me they know who Kevin Cobb is as a player, they know that Kevin Cobb is a very good player and is going to be a top-flight quarterback in this league, is lying. You don't know at this point. You don't know at this point. Obviously, Arizona is very high on this guy. Obviously, they love this guy. Obviously, they wanted this guy in the fold. They paid a hefty price to get him in the fold. A hefty price. They paid a lot of money to get this guy in the fold. A lot of money. $30 million in guarantees. $30 million in guarantees. You give up a second-round draft pick, which is a high pick. A high pick, and now with the new rookie wage scale, those draft picks become more, guys want them more. The teams will want them more because, you know, you don't have to pay guys as much money as you did in the past. So it's a good situation for anybody, a good situation. A good situation. So, you know, you look at it, and I look at it and I say, you know, this is exciting times. This has got to be exciting times for Kevin Cobb. And, you know, I just think, you know, obviously it's great to be Kevin Cobb today, but I just think it's just not a wise move. It's just not a smart move. And I just think it's a stupid move, a dumb move, an asinine move, a ridiculous move. The Arizona Cardinals, your decision to give Kevin Cobb $30 million in guarantees, your decision to trade Dominic Rogers-Cromartie to the Philadelphia Eagles, your decision to give up a second-round draft pick is not smart. It's not a good decision, and quite frankly, it is stupid. Dumb. Absolutely, positively dumb. It's not smart. You don't give all that up for a guy that you really don't know about. You don't give all that up for a guy that you're really not sure about. That is a lot. That is a lot. That's a lot. You don't do it. You don't do it. And, you know, I look at it and I say to myself, what are you thinking here? What are you thinking? And you know what? A year from now, you might want to call me stupid for calling the Cardinals stupid about this move because Kevin Cobb could be a Pro Bowl top-flight quarterback. He could be. So I'm taking a chance here. I'm going out on a limb here. But I think I'll be just okay and just all right. I think I will be fine here with my decision to say the Arizona Cardinals are stupid for their decision to give Kevin Cobb all that money and their decision to give up Rogers-Cromartie and a second-round draft pick. The Arizona Cardinals, you stupid. We want to thank the great Willie Rowe for stopping by, giving his insight. We also want to thank Terrell Thomas of the New York Giants. Make sure you go to his Twitter page, at TerrellThomas24, and also go to his website, TerrellThomas24.com. We also want to thank Lorenzo Alexander of the Washington Redskins. Make sure you support his foundation. Make sure you go to his Twitter page, OneManGang97, and make sure you support him there. Support his foundation, the ACES Foundation. He's doing great things in the community. Support that. And we also want to thank Caitlin O'Connor, as she's vying for Maxim's hometown hottie. And we're going to put on our Twitter page a link so you can vote for her as she wants to become a Maxim hometown hottie. For everybody, here at Go For It, we hope you have a nice night. We see you later. Take care. Bye.